Yes, so this was meant to be the last in our series on prayer that Daniel started for us over the summer. And I, in thinking, well, it's something that I think about quite a lot, I'm sure we all do, the subject of persistent prayer. I think this morning with the worship and the way we've come to the Lord, we're actually coming from a really strong place, and sometimes I feel like I'm making quite a lot of assumptions when I'm sharing something, but because I know where you're coming from, I know where you are with the Lord, and this morning I know that we are in a place of rejoicing because of Ella's health, and we are just thanking the Lord that she's continuing to just thrive at the moment, and we just trust him that that will continue, but we know also we will continue to pray. And we know that God is a faithful God. We've declared that this morning. So I think we're coming from a great position to think about persistent prayer and what it's actually like for us. When we were going to do this, I've got a friend, Julie, that I've met through my TAP class. We got on really well, and I'm often talking to her about church. And we went out, in fact, I talked to her about church so much, she thought I was a vicar's wife, and she was really disappointed when it turned out I wasn't. So she said, could I have a word with Chris about his employment prospects? So she told her mum and dad, and they were really impressed that a vicar's wife was her friend. So, you know, I've let her down, which is a shame. We'd gone out for an evening, a group of us, to support one of the other ladies doing something at TAP, and they asked what we were doing for the rest of the weekend. So I told them, I said that at that time I thought I was going to be preaching the next day. And they wondered what it was about, and I explained that it was about persistent prayer, and they were fascinated, and I was trying to explain to them how that might work for somebody who doesn't know the Lord. And my friend Julie just suddenly looked at me, and just like this light just turned on, and she said, "So it's really quite like learning to tap dance then." And I said, "Well, yes, when you come to think of it." So there were these dance steps that, you know, there are times that I just don't know if I'm ever going to get to the end of the choreographies. There are dance steps I have to go over time and time again. And sometimes I seem to get them right and I miss another bit out, or I can't understand the timing. But trying again and again, practicing, not giving up, and not changing the choreography to make it easier, just persisting in practicing, you suddenly find that you know the steps and you become part of the whole show. And I just felt that she was just blown past. Yes, she kept texting me, "Are you going to use that? Are you really going to use that?" Yes, I think I am, because actually, we're talking about keeping going, not giving up, and actually reaching a goal that is so much bigger than we can imagine. So I was thinking about what is persistent prayer actually like? Well, we know we can do it corporately. And personally, I mean, we have had a corporate focus on persistent prayer for several years now in our fellowship, and I think that we would all say that has benefited us and blessed us, and we keep on. And also personally, Anu, in fact, is a great example to me of persistent prayer in our personal lives, the way that she has persisted in prayer for her parents, and how she is seeing God answer prayer, that they're here in this country and she's trusting him for there, just to turn to him while they're here, that he will save them. We also know that persistent prayer can be tough. We can be faced with lots of challenges. Sometimes maybe we don't seem to get answers, or we don't seem to see any great change. We struggle with the timing. And there are even folk who seem to come at us and discourage us about how we're praying, whether we're demanding things, or whether we're pestering, and you know, even then add the challenges of our own perceptions of prayer, why we're doing this. So why do we do it? Does prayer affect outcomes? Well, it must, and of course we know it does. Otherwise, what are we left with? What's the point? So there are many things I could have talked about, many directions I could have gone off in, like our own attitudes to prayer involved in it, or what we think about changing God's mind or not. But I've chosen to look again and to share with you my thoughts on why we do just continue to persist in prayer. And one of Jesus' parables has always come to mind that's really helped me if I felt discouraged in the face of persisting in prayer. that I really feel has always helped me have a right perspective. So I'm going to share that with you now. So it's at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. In this version, the story is called the parable of the persistent widow. In some older translations, it's called the importunate widow. I'll think about that in a moment. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So, what does persistent prayer look like? Well, I looked at in Jesus' example, the two versions, the word persistent, the word importunate. I looked them up in the dictionary just to make sure I got the right end of the stick. The persistent widow, she continues firmly. And I love this description, it's quite organic. I just think it's brilliant. Remaining when usually other parts wither or fail or drop off. Can we recognise that in our persistent prayer lives? I think we can. You just keep on going. Other things might have dropped off or given up, but we keep going. And importunate, repeatedly bringing matters earnestly for attention with increasing priority and urgency. Yep, that sounds to me like persistent prayer. There's a lot of cultural weight in the story that Jesus told. He knew what he was saying. He described the least likely situation to show just how righteous God's response is. The widow knew that justice for her situation was worth pursuing, and though she wouldn't have been allowed to present her own case in the courts with no husband to speak for her, she didn't give up. She kept approaching the judge, and eventually, a respected man, though a godless, self-satisfied, self-serving earthly judge not really concerned with justice, was moved to grant it in response to the cry of a single, widowed, insignificant woman. Jesus uses this to highlight how much more so then can we expect a just God to wish to answer the cries of his chosen people. There is waiting, pouring out our hearts, tears and earnestly pressing in, but there is hope in a holy, just, good and faithful God who has shown his grace to us through Jesus, demonstrated to us through the sacrifice of his Son, his desire to intervene in our situations, transform our lives, change and renew our circumstances. So why should we do it? The simple answer, verse 1, Jesus told us to. Job done, you can all go home, have a cup of coffee. Well, in this story, he has shown us we should always pray and never give up, that persistence can bring justice and see situations changed. And so for no other reason, we could do it because I said so, says the Lord. But we know that that's not how God deals with us, is it? He doesn't simply issue a command or a directive. Wrapped up within there is always so much more to discover about why, about his character, about ourselves and our part in his plan and our part in it. He encourages us to partner with him when we pray persistently. We know we should pray, that it's crucial to speak to and listen to our Heavenly Father in this way. It's an integral part of our relationship with him. But why should we persist in prayer? Why is once not enough? What's the benefit? What's the lesson? Daniel used a scripture that came back to my mind when I was thinking about this. We know from scripture that God hears our prayers and he knows what we need and what we'll ask for even before we ask it. So why is once not enough? I think it's too simple to say that, well, you don't always get what you ask for. That's a sneering, almost spiteful response about ignoring and withholding needs, withholding a request. And we know that that's not God's reaction to his children. I think it's because God does not want us to await answers as a fatalistic response. Prayers, however heartfelt at the time, would just disappear into the ether with a shrug of the shoulders and an, oh, let's see what happens. Hey, whatever will be, will be. And then we just get on with life with no real further thought to the outcome of our prayers. Instead, calling us to persisting in prayer means he wants us actively engaging with his plan for the outworking of his kingdom. As we engage in persistent prayer, we become active participants in his plan. Like the widow coming time and time again, we're exercising faith, believing and trusting that we will see him move in our lives and in the lives of others. We can take hold of persistent prayer and use it. The action of persistent prayer itself is powerful. In Ephesians 6, Paul reminds us that we're in a battle with the unseen, not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have a role to play in that battle, and Paul reminds us to put on the armour of God so that we may stand firm. But after all that armour on, he exhorts us to take up arms with one more weapon. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Persistent prayers are like the secret weapon in God's battle plan. They're spiritual special operations warfare. I kept seeing film-like images while I was thinking about this, and I just imagine, you know, you see that sniper fire that just picks out the one soldier that comes over the top and thinks he's going to get through, and or laying down cover fire that means the enemy can't move forward. Keeping the enemy under constant fire so they can't move forward. Prayer is crucial to undermining the enemy's offences and bringing down their defences. It's central to moving God's ultimate salvation plan forward, and he wants us to fight and see active service as part of his army using persistent prayer. So, we're engaging with this plan. We have a powerful weapon to use. So what should we be praying for persistently? How are we taking up arms? Paul says all kinds of prayers and requests. It sounds like anything, in fact. Another lesson that Jesus taught in Prayer 101 for the disciples. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. So is it just a case of, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Praying for anything? No, I really don't think we believe that. Sheila used a verse when she was speaking about praying for healing. 1 John. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. We should be praying persistently in line with God's will. For instance, for someone to be saved, for healing, for breakthrough in situations beyond our control, for his glory to be revealed in dark circumstances, for revival, these are things that we can be pretty sure to be praying for are in his will. Part of persistent prayer is waiting on the Lord and discerning his will, hearing the prophetic, searching his word, as David puts it in Psalm 37, delighting in him that the desires of our hearts are in line with his. And then even when we've persisted and sought him and prayed into what he's shown us, waited eagerly for an answer and prayed again and again, and we no longer know what to pray, we have the Holy Spirit to continue for us. Paul again, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. As we engage in persistent prayer, often with overwhelming cries from our heart to his, he is giving us more opportunities to grow in aspects of spiritual warfare and develop our spirit-filled life as we keep pressing in earnestly, urgently, for the situations he puts before us. He gives us occasions when we need to exercise faith, discern his will, be prompted by the Spirit and speak out in prophecy, and times of receiving fresh revelation of his character and his depth of love for us, which in turn all become more reasons to actively participate in his plan and encourage us to keep on praying. The longer we need to persist, the longer we have to grow, the more effectively we can fight the battle. We can know this, of course we know this, but still, persisting is hard and onerous, and we find ourselves crying out, "How long, Lord? When, Lord?" Truth is, waiting on the Lord sometimes means waiting on the Lord. Reality is that there is outpouring of our heart's desire, tears, waiting and longing. There is urgency, disappointment and heartache even as we pray persistently over and over again for situations close to our heart. Situations which we can be confident we pray for within his will, which seem no less urgent or important when we first prayed for them. And yet we still wait and still persist, in a sense, with no tangible way of knowing that he's heard or that we will receive, except for a promise and a command. But Jesus, being Jesus, understands this may be our experience. After his parable, he continues in verse 7, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Yes, quickly, Lord, we call out. Though praying in his will means also praying in his time, for a God of eternity, quickly may well have a different meaning than for us, his fragile, time-bound chosen people. The divine delay might feel like he's putting us off sometimes, but it doesn't need to be questioned, because we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 describes a battle in which the tribes of Judah triumph, and it says they cried out to him during the battle, and he answered their prayers because they trusted in him. Still waiting, still persisting, is an exercise in trust and faith. Jesus finishes this lesson in prayer 101 with the comment that on faith, in verse 8, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" It seems like a dramatic aside, and many of the commentaries that I looked at read it as a kind of despondent comment to himself, a sigh of inevitability that mankind just won't be able to keep this up. But we know from 1 John 5 that we have confidence to approach God and know that he hears us. In Hebrews, there's this verse: "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Don't you think that's a good description of persistent prayer too? The faith we feel rising up in us is the tangible answer to persistent prayer. It's knowing a gracious God who has covenanted his love for us with the most incredible sacrifice, goat wobbly, will never fail in his faithfulness to us as his people, so that we can be sure he hears us and we can be assured he will answer. I feel as a fellowship, after taking his encouragement to pray and never give up to heart, being determined as we have and will continue to be, to persist in prayer and have faith in a just and loving God who won't keep putting us off as we actively participate in the role he has for us in his battle plan, then we become those who keep faith on the earth. For all the hours we've pursued God in our shared and personal prayer lives, we've waited on him, cried out to him, and have even laid our disappointment before him and received encouragement and prophecy to replace it, surely Jesus would come back and find faith on the earth, here, in Kings, in Addleston. So, always pray and don't give up, because when we keep persisting in prayer, faith not only remains, it grows. Keep persisting in prayer, and we will see breakthrough in healing. Keep persisting in prayer, and the battle for Addleston continues in the unseen. Keep persisting in prayer, and the hearts of the ones we bring to him will find him. Keep persisting in prayer, and lives are transformed, and his kingdom grows. So no matter how long it has to be for, let our persistent prayer for one another be this: in his strength, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.